You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A study from the University of Otago looking into how New Zealand news coverage depicted the country's responses to the COVID-19 pandemic has shown elements of nationalism and creating a sense of competition. I spoke to Emma Anderson, a PhD candidate in the Bioethics Centre at the University of Otago, about the study and the harmful consequences of this framing.
What was the inspiration for the study and the results of the study? Were they what you were expecting?
Yeah, so during the pandemic, there was this tension between focusing on what the country was doing, you know, the national country, and dealing with the crisis that was affecting the whole world, you know, pandemic, it's a global problem. And so nationalism is this idea that it's very inward focused, and it was a recognised issue during the COVID-19 pandemic. There were phrases like, this is a pandemic of nationalism, corona nationalism was a term that was thrown around. And so we wanted to see whether or not there was evidence for nationalism in New Zealand's public conversation, because an inward focus for a global pandemic where there requires global cooperation may not be ideal. So that's why we did what we did. We looked into the news media, because the news media can both shape and reflect public attitudes. And so we analysed 1,300 randomly selected news articles from 19 New Zealand newspapers to see if there was any evidence of this nationalism. And yeah, so what we found essentially was that there was strong nationalist reporting in these papers, in these articles, and there were four main themes that we picked up. So these were domestication, unification, securitisation and separation. I'm happy to talk to those a little bit more if you'd like me to.
Yeah, that's actually my next question, is discussing how those four main themes you mentioned and how they sort of relate to Aotearoa's nationalistic approach to our coverage of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the first theme was domestication, and that's really a focus on home. And this is the most common theme. So this was found in nearly three-quarters of all the articles. And the news stories, they quite overwhelmingly concentrated on New Zealand's situation, such as local economy, daily case numbers, which isn't necessarily surprising because local news does report on local events. But this was a global pandemic, and there was very little coverage of how the pandemic was affecting other specific countries or the world as a whole. So that was the first theme. The second theme was unification, which is this idea of kind of Team New Zealand. And more than half of the articles included this theme. And it aims to create a sense of national unity using words like we and us to make it feel like everyone was in it together. So the third theme was securitisation, and this was around defending the borders. And so there was about one in five articles use this idea of securitisation, talking about the pandemic as if it was a war. And the virus was treated as an enemy that New Zealand had to defend itself against. And there was this heavy focus on border controls, use of military-style language. So, for example, you know, bunkering down and fighting to save New Zealanders' lives. And then that fourth theme was separation. And this one actually became more common over time. And it involved creating a divide between often New Zealanders and others. And this created this in-group, so often being New Zealanders, and an out-group, which was non-New Zealanders, which kind of really fed into that competitive narrative of it's us versus them, the rest of the world, and this pandemic is a competition that we need to win.
If we're looking back at this coverage, have we seen these negative consequences, the ones you've just mentioned, sort of continue into 2025 in any capacity?
I mean, it's difficult to know because we only looked into 2022, so we haven't really looked beyond that. But if you think of this idea of nationalism, it's COVID-19 brought the undercurrent of nationalism to the surface, I think, across the world. And that's why people were so concerned about this idea of nationalism, because even though it has this inward focus, which has this, on the one hand, can help create this sense of unity that you need for a public health crisis, it's that when you create an us, you create that them. And so it can feed into that them mentality where people are seen as less than, and other countries are seen as less than what's happening more locally. basically.
And if we're speaking more to other countries, what are some of the differences between how New Zealand covered the pandemic compared to what other international news organisations, how they would have reported on the pandemic in their own countries?
Yeah, that's a good question. And as we only really looked into New Zealand's media, can't really make a direct evidence-based comparison. But what I can say is that our findings do seem to align with other broader international research. There have been other studies in countries such as Finland and that same kind of competitive narrative. And also that theme of securitisation, so treating the health crisis like a war, wasn't unique to New Zealanders, and other researchers have found similar war metaphors being used all over the world. And so while the kind of team of 5 million was a uniquely New Zealand phrase, this general strategy of using nationalist language to build unity wasn't necessarily uncommon. And again, that's what led to a lot of scholars and commentators saying that there was this pandemic of nationalism that occurred at the same time. So while evaluations of the pandemic can often show, you know, focus on policy and what the policies were, evaluations have also showed this common theme of nationalism as a major problem to cooperation during the pandemic.
Now, we've discussed quite a few negatives, but is there any positives to this framing at all regarding how New Zealand responded to the COVID pandemic?
Yeah, it's another great question. So again, it's like on the one hand, this inward approach, it can help to foster that sense of national unity, encourage people to follow the public health rules, contributing to New Zealand's success in keeping illnesses and deaths low, which, you know, is a good thing, keeping illness and death low. It's again, there's that risk though, every time you have that we and us, you're also creating the them, and so it's very difficult to sometimes separate that, and it has to be a very intentional choice, a very intentional wording around how you can create a we without villainizing or making a competition with others.
Have politics played a role in the framing of the country's response to the pandemic? Did any political elements come up in your research?
Yeah, so again, we didn't really look at party politics specifically, but a lot of, as the media reports on both public perceptions and also reports what government, those things naturally come through. And you know, we analysed the language that was reported in the media, and that does reflect a wider tension at a community and government level in New Zealand. So, for example, at a community level, research suggests that New Zealanders likely to see themselves generous and willing to contribute to global equity, but also at the same time, research shows this gap between values and actual behaviour. So, for example, another study done at the University of Otago found that when given a choice, over 70% of New Zealanders opt to donate to a domestic charity over a comparable global one. And that kind of New Zealand focus, that pattern, is also seen at the governmental level. So the policies that were enacted during the pandemic prioritised that national success over the global equity, and many wealthy countries did that. It wasn't just New Zealand. So New Zealand purchased more vaccines than what were needed and fell short of the pledged contributions to the global COVAX facility. And so we kind of see this tension between values of what New Zealand says to value and the actual contributions and that rhetoric versus reality, if you like.
To mitigate the nationalist elements of this coverage and the sort of us versus them mentality heading forward, especially if we were to see a similar outbreak in the future, what would you like to see?
It's about finding that balance. So if we think of that lifeboat analogy, the goal is to get everyone to see that we need to work together to fix this main leak and not just bail water out from our own corner. And so for a next public health crisis, which is likely, the narrative can be framed around concepts of shared humanity and mutual interest in terms of solving a global problem, recognising, you know, it's not just about protecting New Zealanders' lives, but about protecting everybody's lives. You know, New Zealand is no more or no less important than the rest of the world. And so helping those outside of borders is also a form of self-interest, because no one's safe as everyone is safe until everyone is safe, as I've often heard. And so, I mean, in terms of recommendations for political public health leaders, it would mean avoiding relying solely on national pride to build unity, instead appealing to global solidarity, emphasising that helping those in greatest need wherever they are is a priority. For public health communicators and the media, that means consciously working to build solidarity without using exclusionary language, including reporting about what's happening globally, not just about reporting what's happening locally. And again, this concept of shared humanity. And I think for the general public, it just means about reflecting what it is that we think and expanding our thinking to include concern for those who are distant, the distant stranger, and making an intentional effort to see all people as people, not just New Zealanders.
That was the University of Otago's Emma Anderson on a study she led into the framing of New Zealand news media's coverage of the COVID-19 pandemic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.